me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Ooh, it's going to be a controversial abandoned Manitoba today. The man at the center of the controversy, Gordon Goldsborough. Well, not really. Let's be real.
I'm not sure I'm at the center.
The least controversial person I think we've ever had on the radio. But, you know, I like to ham it up sometimes, build up the drama. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, remind us what we're talking about today.
Well, of course, recently we've witnessed a lot of public conversation about monuments and places, you know, that are named for people who have done or believed things that we find objectionable. So I thought we should talk about this matter and maybe what could be done in response.
Now, I can think of quite a few cases in the USA.
Of course, the things like statues of Confederate soldiers from the American Civil War are being removed because, of course, they glorify support for human slavery. Several of the presidents whose faces are carved into Mount Rushmore were slave owners themselves. And, of course, the fellow who carved them, we know now, had connections to the Ku Klux Klan.
But there are cases here in Canada, too, as well.
Right. Of course, statues of Sir John A. Macdonald are being removed because of his involvement in establishing the Indigenous residential school system. And then, of course, within the past few weeks, we've seen a case where a monument of Queen Victoria right here in Winnipeg in front of the legislative building was splattered with paint. And, I don't know exactly why it happened, but maybe it was because her government was the one that negotiated the numbered treaties.
And it's kind of extended beyond monuments right now, right? There's a whole bunch of other things that are being re-examined.
Yeah, so we have objects like the names of streets, we have the names of buildings, that commemorate people who might not be deserving of our respect. And so they're being re-examined too. So for example, in the early 20th century, there was widespread public support for the practice of eugenics. Now, eugenics is where you decide what people should be allowed to reproduce and who should not. And one of the buildings at the University of Manitoba is named for an early professor named Reginald Buller. Now, he did a lot of very important research, that reduced the impact of diseases on prairie crops. He was, by all accounts, an exceptional teacher, but he was also an enthusiastic supporter of eugenics. So should the Buller Building at the university be renamed as a result? And there's other examples too. Another controversial educational building here in Winnipeg is the Cecil Rhodes School, and it's named for white supremacist Cecil Rhodes.
And you mentioned that there are Winnipeg streets named for people. Can you give us a few examples?
Right. There's lots of streets that are named for a variety of things, for early residents, for former landowners, for important political figures, victims of disasters. Well, you name it. There's lots of different reasons why streets are named for people. But often the basis for street names have been lost. We just don't know why a particular street is named why it is. And even published sources aren't always reliable. So back in 1974, there was a book published on the basis of Winnipeg street names. And it claimed, for example, that Grove Street was named for the novelist Frederick Philip Grove. But in fact, the street was named before Grove came to prominence. So it's very unlikely that that's the reason. And likewise, there's another street called Leacock Avenue. And that book said that it was named for the humorist Stephen Leacock. Well, he never lived here. So I don't know why we would have necessarily named a street for him. But his uncle, a fellow named E.P. Leacock, did live here and was an MLA. So it's entirely possible that it was just misnamed. So if anyone is interested in this subject of naming streets, if you go to the Manitoba Historical Society website, we have a page of over 900 Winnipeg streets and the basis of those names. We also have one for Portage La Prairie and Brandon, and we're adding more as we make these new discoveries.
900. I like it. I'm going to have to check that one out. Now, can you give us a few examples of Winnipeg streets that were named for disreputable people?
Well, it, of course, hinges on your definition of disreputable, but there's a few that have been in the news recently. So one is Bishop Grandin Boulevard, and it's named for, of course, Bishop Grandin, a prominent Roman Catholic priest. He supported the creation of the residential schools. So there's the controversy there. Or Wolseley Avenue, that's named for the British general who led forces in opposition to Louis Riel. So there's the concern there. Cornish Avenue for Winnipeg's first mayor, a fellow named Frank Cornish. He was a flamboyant character, and really, he deserves an episode all his own. We have McDonald Avenue in Point Douglas, about which there's a difference of opinion. One scholar believes that it commemorates Sir John A. McDonald, and of course, there's a controversy there because of his connection to the residential schools. But another scholar thinks that it's actually for a local missionary named Robert McDonald, and it's actually spelled differently, so we don't really know for sure which one of those two is correct. And if it is for Sir John A., and we think that that warrants reconsideration of the name, should we then start to scrutinize names of streets that are commemorating other fathers of Confederation? Because there's a bunch of those in Winnipeg. Did any of the governors general hold controversial views? Well, if so, there's several streets named for them too. There's Schultz Street, named for Lieutenant Governor J.C. Schultz, and he vigorously opposed Louis Riel. He was a controversial figure in his own right. You know, one last example is Powell Street, and it's named for Lord Baden-Powell, founder of the Boy Scouts. Now, you'd think that that's pretty innocuous, but just recently we've seen claims where he was quite homophobic, and he was an ardent supporter of Adolf Hitler.
What about other places in Manitoba?
We have Brandon's Rosser Avenue, major street in Brandon, named for an engineer of the Canadian Pacific Railway. And, you know, as the railway was passing through town, they named a street after him. Well, it turns out Rosser was a Confederate general in the American Civil War. So if they're pulling down monuments of the generals, maybe we should start thinking about renaming streets named for them. Some people believe that the town of Stonewall is named for the limestone quarries there. There's lots of, you know, good stone structures of various kinds there. Or maybe it's for a local MLA that was named Samuel Jackson. But there's also a school of thought that thinks that the town was named for another Confederate general, Stonewall Jackson. You know, another aspect is people have started identifying places with fort in their names because they feel that forts are reminders of colonialism that occurred during the fur trade. But, you know, we have to be very careful in jumping to what I would consider to be uninformed conclusions. You know, so for example, there was never a fur trade post called Fort White. You know, if we just pick on forts as being bad, well, that part of Winnipeg, Fort White, was actually named for a railway official named William White. And it had nothing to do with fur trade. It was because of a labor dispute between the Canadian Pacific Railway and another railway they wanted to cross. And then back in 1888, they had a big fight. And so they just, you know, named the place Fort White, but it was never actually a fort.
So I'm going to put you on the spot now, Gordon. Where do you fall on all of this?
I believe the value of history is to educate and, you know, and basically to inform future behavior. So when it comes to the names applied to buildings, streets, or other objects, you know, I think we should tread carefully. Should a large body of good work that's done by a person basically be invalidated by objectionable views that they might have been holding that were sort of mainstream ones at the time? We have to be careful when we judge people of the past by modern standards. And that's why, for example, the Manitoba Historical Society has a collection of over 10,000 short biographies on our website that we call Memorable Manitobans. And the idea is that memorable doesn't necessarily mean praiseworthy. And in fact, we have included numerous disreputable people in that collection because we think that negative role models can provide just as useful a lesson as positive ones.
So what would you suggest then, what should be done with monuments of people who are judged not to deserve public praise?
Well, an approach that has been used in former Soviet countries is to move the former communist statuary that they used to have into one place. Maybe put some interpretive signage along with it. You know, call it maybe a monument garden or maybe even a hall of shame. But, you know, then they provide an ongoing educational benefit. In other words, don't just tear them down and throw them away. Keep them, but use them for useful purposes.
And what about street names? Should they be renamed?
Well, your renaming can have a lot of negative consequences. You know, it can cause confusion, it can cause inconvenience, cost. And then, of course, fundamentally, for me, it's the loss of history. So long as the renaming is done by a respectful and thoughtful process, you know, with careful study of all these implications, you know, yes, I'm in favor of it. You know, so the city of Winnipeg, for example, discourages street naming generally. But right now, actually, it's establishing a committee to advise the city council on when they should either create or rename or remove historical markers and place names. In other words, to advise them on this whole matter. You know, and in fact, applications for this committee are being received up until this coming Friday, the 17th of July, and they anticipate that the first meeting of this committee will happen in mid-August.
Oh my goodness, so many questions. And you said that there's a full episode to be done on Cornish Street, was that right?
Absolutely. You know, he was a fantastic character. He had all kinds of interesting and controversial views. Yes, we should talk about him in length.
All right. Excellent. Gordon, thank you for this. What's the clue for next time?
We're going to have another installment in our occasional series on places that remind us of Manitoba as it would have been experienced by people living here 150 years ago. You know, so far we've talked about fur trade features. We've talked about churches. We've talked about homes. Next week, we're going to talk about natural places that remind us of life in 1870.
Gordon, thank you so much for this. We'll see you next week.
Talk next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.